Do you have questions about your health? Do you need to find out what's keeping you from feeling your absolute best? If so, your intuition has guided you to the right place. I am Dr. Charlize, and welcome to the Art of Healing podcast community. In this podcast, we explore all topics in health and wellness, from Reiki to functional medicine, energy medicine, chakras, and meditation. Join me every week for fresh new episodes that highlight healers, various healing modalities, and use this as your opportunity to find what healing works best for you. If you want to learn more about me, simply Google at Dr. Charlize. Enjoy. Hello and welcome back to the Art of Healing podcast. This is Charlize and thank you for joining me for today's topic, journaling and your health, why you want to do it, how you can do it, and how the power of observation can make you feel better. In my medical practice, there are a few conditions that I will frequently ask patients if they will keep a journal of, and I know that this can be daunting to the patient because, of course, you come to the doctor because you don't feel good. You don't feel well. You know, you're having a pain or discomfort or something. And so, you know, for probably the vast majority of patients, their first thought is, well, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to track what's happening and write it down? And I feel bad enough already. So why do that? I keep a journal of this. The particular condition that comes to the top of my observation or my thinking is going to be migraines. Migraines, which I'm sure listeners are familiar with, are a chronic reoccurring headache that comes with other symptoms beyond just the headache, including visual changes, including sensory changes like numbness and tingling, a decreased in cognition, so foggy thinking, severe digestive symptoms like nausea or vomiting, as well as just all over feeling bad, and the migraines lasting for, hours, maybe even for days. So, and there are many other conditions that are like this that sometimes I'll ask people to keep a journal of, including fibromyalgia, including even some inflammatory conditions. But with migraines, the reasoning behind let's keep a journal is because migraines tend to be episodic. There tends to be a pattern. And what we're trying to find out is what could be causing the migraines. So, the reason why I often ask my patients, well, let's try to track this and gather some data and keep a journal of it is for one, oftentimes when they're telling me what's going on, we're at the front end of probably the most extreme type of user bias there is. They've got a condition, it's brought them into the doctor. The condition has gotten, bad enough that they need to talk about it. And then, of course, within the time frame of our visit, we're going to be focusing so much on that condition that there may be some amplification as far as what role this symptom plays and what they're going through. So for a number of reasons that I even tell my patients this, and in my Reiki practice, I really don't have to say this too much because the expectations of Reiki clients are vastly different, but I often have to explain to my medical patients that in modern care, modern healthcare, which is an extension of modern living, we often have a feeling or a sense that we should have a resolution quickly. Everything should resolve itself quickly. If you have a problem, there should be a quick solution. And we sort of disregard what's been the length of time or the chronicity of the problem and what the solution will be. So a lot of times in my first few visits with patients, I'm often sort of retraining them, helping them to retrain their own minds. That if we've got an issue, a problem, a discomfort that's been present for some time, over a, 3 months, over a year, that the resolution of it won't probably be that quickly. And compounded by this, when we're dealing with conditions, is we have so much marketing that's available to the average person that is pharmaceutical related. I see these images, I see these commercials, and even as a physician, I'm not even sure what they're selling me. The image that you see in a lot of these commercials from the pharmaceutical companies are people that are very happy and going about their lives and thriving. And then all of this seems to be related to appeal. And I've acknowledged for years that probably because I'm a practicing physician, I'm confused. I'm not sure what they're selling. But I'm starting to understand over the years that for the patients that are suffering and going through symptoms, and then they see a commercial for this drug will stop it, it often will lead them to think that we're going to have a rapid resolution. I saw this commercial for this drug. I want a prescription. It will stop it. So when we're dealing with almost any symptom, it could be pain related, mood related, digestive related. If it's been there for a long time, it's probably safe to assume that conditions that created it had also been there for a long time. So the example of migraines is a good one, that they're cyclic or occurring in a pattern, occurring in stages. There may be times they're more severe or less severe, but by the time someone presents with them, it's because they're occurring regularly enough that it's time to figure out what's going on and what to do about it. So in terms of keeping a journal for something like migraines, that journal can help as far as the description of symptoms. I can't be certain that patients recall all of the symptoms they're having, especially during something that's episodic or an attack. We try to do our best, and of course, I ask questions. I go over all of the systems that I can during a visit. But even then, because of the nature of the exchange of information, and it's stressful. It's stressful to be a patient, to describe your symptoms to a physician or care provider who's looking at an electronic medical record, so looking at a screen. So the flow of information is going to get choppy or weird. So this is where it can be really helpful by tracking some information without me. And I'll ask patients, well, if you want to start to track that, let's see what else we can discover. And oftentimes we do discover that there's other things going along with the attack, other things going along with the symptom. Journaling is also really awesome for tracking progress. That's really helpful. So especially someone who's working on their weight, for many of my patients, they're choosing to manage their weight by lifestyle, and they'll come to me because I'm happy to offer guidance, help with that. Having some kind of journaling, and we'll go into a little bit later how to journal. It doesn't have to be you sit down like Steinbeck and write the next great American novel. But if you do, I'm very happy for you, but it can be very simple. But in terms of something like when we're managing weight, tracking with a journal or has some kind of tracking can really help for positive reinforcement to make you feel good, to see your progress. Like, yes, I lost another pound. That's fantastic. And definitely my patients that are working with their weight, that track on their own, by far and beyond, are so much happier with their progress. They're so much happier with their personal progress. And of course, they're happier with their progress with their weight. I have been working on getting a certification in mindful meditation. I've been doing this for the past couple of months. Eventually, of course, I'll offer more meditation courses. And like with a lot of the healing modalities I studied, I decided to do this just really for myself. But it's been very interesting how the lessons I learned during my mindful meditation certification has started to reflect across multiple aspects of life. So there's a concept in meditation of observation. Observation without judgment, however. During many of the mindfulness exercises that we learn to observe things like the breath. We learn to observe the body, how it feels. We learn to observe the sounds around us, or the room around us, or in some of the mindfulness exercises, observations during your everyday normal life. So what I'm learning, my personal lessons I take from doing this, is that oftentimes just the act of observation is actually quite peaceful. But again, it's observation without judgment. So if I were going to make an observation of myself right now in this moment, I am sitting in a comfortable chair. I am talking, creating a podcast, creating content in my home. And the temperature is room air. And there are few to no background sounds because I'm recording. So, but the key is with observation is that as I'm doing that, I don't want to necessarily label anything as like anything's, well, I said the chair is comfortable, but I wouldn't want to say the chair is great. It's comfortable and I love it. I wouldn't say the air temperature is perfect, or that the little background noises I pick up are irritating. Because what I'm hoping to do with that temporary observation is to just sort of not let my emotions take me down one direction or another. By keeping my focus on the observation, hopefully my emotions will center themselves and take me deeper into that experience. I by no means am a master. I'm a student. I'm learning about the student's mind, and there's probably a lot more ways to observe that, to present that. But in terms of when I'm working with my patients now, it's been really interesting that I can sort of ask them the same thing, to make observations without judgment. So for instance, where I really like to lean on this tool is those individuals who have health related issues, health issues from their weight, where their weight has become very high and it is making them sick. So we may have, you know, blood pressure or diabetes or arthritis related to the weight. Whereas years ago, before I began to deepen my own personal practice, I would want to almost avoid that topic because I did not want to hurt the patient's feelings. I didn't want to make them upset or sad. There's so much history in the practice of medicine, and of course, wider society and our outwardly facing extroverted society that places so much value on looks and appearance, that for many years I wouldn't necessarily avoid this topic, but I was very hesitant to help patients learn to discuss their own bodies in terms of how they feel in their weight. Now I eagerly look forward to this discussion because we can start to use tools like non-judgmental observation to help them feel better. So one thing I often ask my patients, especially with weight, this is a very good tool because when we discuss weight, it can quickly become emotional. And because patients dealing with weight and weight-related shame have been trained by society to be angry with themselves and to hate their bodies, that we can quickly roll this tool in of observation, and we can start to empty out and channel and train away those strong emotions, because this is their health. Outside of all these societal judgments, I can't we can't stop those, but we can do some life-saving work if we help them return to their inner world and do it with peace. So one observation I often ask people when they're trying to work with their weight and getting to healthier weight is observe what you eat. So it's somewhat keeping a food journal, but it's not necessarily just keeping a food journal. It's simply going to be making a note of what you eat. And I ask them to do this diligently without calling it good, without calling it bad, without calling it anything. And my hope when I ask them to do this exercise is I'm not telling you, oh, you ate bad food, or you ate too much, or you didn't eat enough, or that meal was good. I'm just simply asking them to start to observe meals, and that's it. Just observing that. We don't need to do any more than that. Because if we're going to make some progress, we need to gather some data. We need to know something about what's going on, but we need to learn to do it without so much judgment. So that helps them move to the next step. The power of observation is also good in terms of people who are dealing with chronic severe pain, especially from things like fibromyalgia, where they may have multiple symptoms across all kinds of systems, where when they get these attacks or when this comes on, oftentimes the pain takes over the thinking mind and the emotional brain, and it becomes the whole of their existence. So learning to observe can help them take a step back and not let this thing, this tidal wave, pull them along. Granted, this isn't easy. It's not easy at all. It's something that I've just recently started doing the past several months. But what I'm finding is that it's inviting the patients, my patients, to engage in their bodies in a different way, not so much in the judgment and not so much that we're going to get angry if something something I prescribed didn't work or anything like that. But we're going to just approach what the experience of the body without judgment. We're just going to observe, and hopefully in the observation we can gather information that can be helpful. So there are a few ways to keep a journal, and so I wanted to highlight these because I'm not quite sure. I like tracking things, and of course my job is, progress notes and tracking of patients. But, I know I'm not quite sure if a lot of people have thought of ways to track their health progress. So I wanted to highlight some of those during this podcast, that there are a number of ways that if you're wanting to track something or make observations about yourself, that you can do it with ease. So we all are familiar with a handwritten journal. So I love to write. So for me, I love that, keeping a nice paper journal, writing down information, tracking, if you're tracking a health symptom, or if you're tracking your migraines, keeping track there, like, I had a migraine on this date at this time, anything that you may have noticed around it. Keeping a handwritten journal can be cumbersome. It can be bothersome. And of course, if you're busy, it just may not be feasible. It may not be something that you can do with ease. So another way you can keep a journal is if you're using a smartphone, and likely many listeners, you're probably listening on a smartphone right now. You may have access to something like a cloud drive, like with Apple, or a Google Drive. And most of those will allow you to create a document. So you can actually just, fire that up, create a document, and keep it on your phone. And so you can be typing in there. If you're like a lot of folks, I do this, your keyboard may have an option where you can push the little stereo, the microphone icon, and you can actually just quickly tape your recordings. But doing it that way allows you to keep track even more. You're already using the device anyway, right? So you might as well, make it work for you. And although there's like a ton of cell phone apps and things that can help guide you, and I'm not against those, I like the idea of maybe just you creating your own thing and seeing what happens from it without even much guidance. So if you're tracking your weight or a painful condition, just starting an electronic document, like, and I use Google Drive. So, you know, Google Drive or with Apple or Microsoft Word. You can podcast to yourself. If you're listening to me podcast, you can do it yourself. So you have again, probably a smartphone that you're listening on. Every smartphone has the ability to record your voice. You can do a voice recording. So even faster. And I'll tell you, as you know, as I am used to, you know, I write at work and I talk at work, and I do that as well for Healing Arts, you know, writing and talking. Talking can be the fastest and most effective way to get your thoughts somewhere. So with any of your smartphone devices, you've got an audio recorder on there. You just might need to play around with it. You can fire it up and quickly just peel off a few sentences to yourself to record whatever information you want. I don't know that much about everyone's technology, but I know on my own audio recorder, it has the ability to transcribe that into writing. So if there's something that you're wanting to dig down deep into and you want some answers right now and you want to make it fast, just use the audio recorder on your phone and there you go. Let it transcribe and you've got your journal. And finally, which I mean, for me personally, because I actually tend to be more of an introvert, but I'm going to present this idea because it may help, is keep a video journal. You know, as we gather information, the more the content has, you know, aspects of visual and audio and all of that. So if you're someone who is wanting to track something about your health and you're feeling frustrated, but you feel comfortable firing up the camera on your phone or computer, hit record. Talk about your experience. It might be something you want to go back to and watch and listen later and learn something about what you've been going through. So those are a few options. And often we'll tell patients the same way, like, it doesn't have to be just a handwritten journal. You can do it a number of ways and play around with it, make it fun. And, you know, basically even things like social media, oftentimes people are basically journaling, although they're sharing it with the world, but you can even approach your self-journal in much of the same way, like sort of a Facebook news feed or an Instagram feed, but maybe you're keeping it to yourself. Once you've decided there's a topic or an issue you're going to journal about with yourself, and are you, you know, once you've started it, would you want to share it? Or, you know, what do you do with it? Do you share it with your doctor? I think that all depends. So when patients come in with lots of extensive documents and ask me to review them, and, you know, for a lot of doctors, if patients come in with reams and reams of paper, there's some logistics that, unfortunately, the doctor can make attempts to review it. I'll tell patients I'll make my best attempts to review it. However, it may be very difficult because we don't really have time allotted during a, you know, most clinicians' days just to read things. However, if you're seeing a doctor or a care provider or, you know, practitioner who's asked you to do it, then probably they're anticipating reviewing it. But maybe you've created it and you're not comfortable sharing it. And so that may be so. Maybe you've been asked to keep a track of your migraines and you notice there's a link between your headaches and when you drink alcohol. And maybe you're noticing you're not ready to discuss that maybe you're drinking alcohol more than you realized. So that's where you don't really have to share it. You can have a look, maybe draw your own conclusions, and maybe share your conclusions with your physician. But at that point, I think it's optional whether or not you really have to share that. Of course, if you've been asked to track something very specific, and if it's like number related and things, definitely you want to share it. Or if like you're tracking your blood pressure, by the next time your doctor wants to see you, yeah, they would want to see your blood pressure. But if it's something you're doing and it's bringing up emotions and you're not comfortable sharing quite yet, Well, it's perfect. You don't have to share it. You can keep it to yourself or share when you're ready. But the most important thing is that the whole process of journaling for yourself is for you. It's to help you reconnect with yourself, to help reduce some of the external distractions that would pull you away from yourself. Because ultimately, with any health condition, although you've got physicians and nurses and all your allied health, or if you're seeing a holistic healer, a Reiki provider or acupuncturist, ultimately the person that's going to get better, that's going to actually fix it, will be you. You'll be the one that does it. So you'll have the info from everyone else, but I mean, one way or the other, and I've seen this more than enough times in my own practice, that the one that actually does the healing is the one that needs to be healed. So however you use it, it can be helpful. Doesn't need to be daunting. It can be short, quick pictures, a photo journal. You can do a video journal, but mostly it's just reconnecting with yourself. So thank you so much for joining me for today's topic of journaling for your health. As always, I so appreciate your time. If you are listening, of course, leave a review. I'd very much appreciate it. And always, the resources at healingartshealthandwellness.com are available to you if you'd like to explore more on meditation and observation. It's been an exciting few months for Healing Arts with the release of a book and some collaborations. So I definitely tell you, this would probably be a good time to keep in touch. So sign up for the newsletter if you'd like to know what all's going on, because there's going to be definitely more programs, more books and things coming over the next several months. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next week. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining during this episode of the Art of Healing podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a review. Also, you can check your show notes to find out how to get a copy of this and future episodes emailed directly to your inbox, available to listen to anytime. Finally, if you have questions or wish to connect to me, check your show notes to find out how we can get connected and find out how I can be of service to you.